Our scripture lesson for this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. And that is found on page 1598 in your pew Bible. Prepare your hearts for God's holy word. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down for here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord grant his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of it.
Amen. So I wanted to let everybody know this morning that I am not touching anyone or breathing on anyone this morning because I am really, really sick. So I won't even be greeting you after worship. Johnny and Pastor Mark will be greeting you after worship. And I just want to share something with you, okay? And that is that in 29 years, I have never missed church because of sickness. I have had to lean. I've had to sit. But God has always given me the strength to complete worship. And I wasn't going to start missing today. So, but I don't want to infect you either. So please forgive me for that. I just wanted to throw that out there. Because you might think, ooh, she's looking pretty rough this morning. And you're right. But wouldn't it be so great to be so connected to God, so grounded in the faith, that when temptation came your way, as it will to all of us, that you'd be able to stand your ground? Now, there's a lot we don't know about Satan. There's a lot we don't know about demons and temptation. For instance, you have to ask yourself, does every human being have a demon that's assigned to them and just tries to trip them up? Because C.S. Lewis wrote about that kind of scenario in the Screwtape Letters. But sometimes you might be tempted to ask yourself, you know, how much power do Satan and his minions really have? Or can they really manipulate events? Or can they just manipulate me? There's just a lot we don't know about the underworld. And really, honestly, we should not court danger by getting too interested in it, just so you know. But this is what we do know. We know that we have an enemy, and it's the devil, and he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, and sometimes we are just the best targets. What we do know is that you and I are tempted every day to break away from the story that God has for our lives. And every day, we are tempted in some way to go our own way instead of God's way. And we know that every time we go our own way instead of God's way, we bring harm to ourselves, we bring harm to the people that we love, and we bring harm to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be so great to be so grounded in our faith and connected to God that when the moment of temptation came for each one of us, like it always will, that we are able to stand our ground? Well, this morning we're going to learn how to become that kind of person, how to find strength to live God's story and not our own story. Now, John the Baptist, just a little backstory. John the Baptist told people to get ready for the coming of the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us that soon after John showed up on the scene, Jesus came. Jesus was baptized by John. They were both living God's story. Now, the Bible says that when Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens opened, Spirit of God descended like a dove. We know how it goes. Landed on his shoulder, voice from heaven, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." This was a great moment for Jesus. It marked the beginning of his public ministry. Surprise, surprise. Instead of seizing the moment, launching out on his preaching and miracle tour, instead, Jesus disappeared into the desert for 40 days alone. Let's look from which Pastor Mark read. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. Oh, you think? At the end of them he was hungry, you know? I miss lunch, and I'm starving to death. You know, now it's really, really important that we are familiar with the Old Testament when we read the Gospels. The imagery and the symbolism of the Old Testament are really important for us to get fully Jesus' message and his ministry. And we sometimes miss them because we don't think about that. For instance, notice that Jesus' story begins in his ministry the very same way the entire human story begins in Genesis. With a temptation. As soon as Adam and Eve were blessed by God, Satan shows up in the form of a serpent and tempts them. Luke chapter 3 gives us the genealogy of Jesus, and the last line of that genealogy tells us Jesus was the son of Adam, the son of God. Jesus is the second Adam. Now, hindsight's 20/20. So we know that that encounter in the garden ended very badly, not only for Adam and Eve, but for us. Now, that is not the only parallel. Notice where this encounter takes place. It takes place in the wilderness. What else happened in the wilderness? Well, Israel wandered in the desert. God led Israel out of Egypt, marched them through the Red Sea, across the wilderness to the very doorstep of the Promised Land. Quite honestly, it really wasn't that far. And he invited them to go in and take the land, but what did they do? They balked. So he turned them back towards the wilderness. He made them wander around for 40 years. So now Jesus is in that very same wilderness for 40 days. He was also given a choice to follow God's plan or to follow his own. You know, it's no good or to turn back, to turn his back on God. It's no coincidence that Jesus' ministry begins with temptation in the wilderness. This is a reenactment. It's a do-over of Israel's future. It's a reflection of their failure. I'm sorry. It's a reflection of their wandering. Now, a lot of airtime these days talks about bullies. I mean, you can't look anywhere that they're not talking about bullies today. Well, I'm not exactly sure when this became a problem. Because when I was in the second grade, two very large girls who I did not know from the special ed class randomly chose me to ambush after school. Now, they beat me up pretty good. I had difficulty walking home. I missed a few days of school. I had marks all over my body. They beat me with their books. Now, my grandmother reported that. But because the high schoolers were in remedial education, the principal said that there was nothing that they could do about it. Because that's just the way things were back in the day. So bullying has been around for a very, very long time. Now, after thousands of years of humiliation, at the hands of a bully named Satan, Jesus came back to rewrite history. Jesus came to face the bully, and he came to show us how to face him as well. The Old Testament tells us that human beings cannot live God's story by themselves. Jesus had to come and show us how to do it and give us the power to do it. So let's take a closer look at this showdown in the wilderness to see what we can learn about overcoming our own temptations. First, let's acknowledge the fact that Jesus was in a pretty vulnerable place, right? I mean, 40 days without food is kind of on the outer limits of what a human can endure. Satan will always come at us when we are physically depleted or when we are the most vulnerable. He will come at us when we are tired, when we are hungry, when we are diminished in some way, he will be there. And if he can't get to us, he will come against the weakest link in our family. He will come against our friends, some way to get at us. But Jesus wasn't just hungry. He was also alone. He didn't have anyone to lean on. No one was there to encourage him. We become our most vulnerable when we're alone, when we isolate ourselves from other people, physically or emotionally. That's why, just think about this for a minute. When something really big is going on in your life, Satan will try to convince you to withdraw. Satan will try to convince you to back up, to be by yourself, because he knows that that's when you're the best target. And that's when he has the most power over you. So Jesus was hungry, he was alone, and he was far from home. Notice how crafty Satan was. He came to Jesus three times, three different ways. He tempted Jesus the same way he tempts us. First, Satan tempts us to have stuff that we're not meant to have. Luke 4, 3 and 4 says, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus says, man does not live on bread alone. Well, Satan tempted Jesus with the most basic need, food. And there isn't anything wrong with food. There isn't anything wrong with eating food when you're hungry. It's just not what God had in mind for Jesus at that particular moment in his life. Jesus was fasting so that he could concentrate on God. He was abstaining from food because every time he would think of food, he would turn his attention to God. That's what fasting's about. It was not a time for him to eat and erase that need. Satan will tempt us in the same way, to have things that we are not meant to have, or to have them when we are not meant to have them. But he can tempt us to have just about anything. I don't know. I mean, it could be anything. I don't know, nicer clothes, you know, newer car, cooler technology, a forbidden relationship. I mean, it could be a ton of stuff. Now, we might have to compromise our integrity to get some of those things. We might have to work too many hours. It takes us away from our family to get some of those things. We might have to hang on to some of those things a little too tightly. We might have to give less to God and to others so that we can have more money to spend on ourselves. We might have to sneak around. Are you ever tempted to have something that you are not meant to have or not meant to have at that time? Well, secondly, Satan will tempt us to be somebody that we are not meant to be. 5 and 8 says, the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Okay, so what Satan was inviting him to do was to become an earthly king. To have all the cities and nations in the world bow down to him. I mean, to be clear, Satan didn't really have all that authority to offer Jesus that total, complete control of the kingdoms of the world. But lying has never seemed to be a problem for Satan, you know, so whatever. But the problem, of course, is that Jesus didn't come to be that kind of a king. He didn't come for an earthly kingdom. He came for a heavenly kingdom. Satan will come at us just the same way. He will tempt us to be something that we are not meant to be. And, you know, sometimes we will just run ahead of God. We will work around God or we'll walk away from God. I don't know, have you ever been tempted to just be something you're not meant to be? Or are you tempted to maybe be something that you're not meant to be right this moment? Now, Satan also tempts us to do things we're not meant to do. Verses 9 through 12. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. This time, okay, Satan's quoting scripture. You know, that's, I just love it sometimes. I've heard people really kind of be rude. Someone will quote scripture to them. They'll say, yes, Satan quoted scripture too. You know, ouch, right? But he twisted the meaning. And that's an old tactic of his. He used it on Eve back in the garden, if you remember. That was his go-to tactic. Did God really say, you know, now God did say that he would protect his children, but he didn't say he would protect them from willfully shooting themselves in the foot. Satan will tempt us to do things that we're just not meant to do. You know, to go off on our own, to live carelessly or recklessly, presuming, you know, that God's going to bail us out when we crash and burn. That is a very dangerous assumption to make, by the way. Pigs were not meant to fly. You can throw them off the roof, but it is not going to end well. You know, we are not meant to abuse our minds or our bodies with drugs and alcohol. Men and women were not meant to give themselves away sexually outside of the safety of marriage. We weren't meant to let our anger explode. When we do those things, it ends badly. We hurt ourselves and we hurt others. Have you ever been tempted to do something that you weren't meant to do? So Jesus was tempted along these three lines, to have something, to be somebody, to do something other than what God intended. In other words, Satan was tempting Jesus to break away from the story that God had for his life. Satan offered Jesus a storyline without hardship, without suffering, without a cross. And that is the same thing that he offered Adam and Eve. A different story than what God had intended for their lives. And it's the same thing that he offered Israel in the wilderness. A different plan than what God had for their lives. And it's the same thing he offers you and I when he suggests that we be or do or have something against God's storyline for our lives. Adam and Eve fell victim to that temptation. We're still paying the price. The people of Israel fell victim to that temptation time and time again. You and I fall victim to that temptation all the time. But Jesus didn't fall. He stood the test. He looked the bully Satan in the eye and he said, my life is about more than food. My life is about more than power. My life is about more than safety. It's about doing my Father's will and fulfilling his purpose for my life. Jesus came three times. Satan came at Jesus with his worst stuff, and three times Jesus fended him off. Now, if we think about the way Jesus was able to do that, and if we think that was because somehow Jesus was special, because obviously he was, we're mistaken in this case. Now, I don't know if any of you are comic book fans, or no, they call them something, something novels, illustrated novels. What do they call them? Graphic novels, yeah. Well, isn't that nice? I don't know if any of you guys read graphic novels, but DC Comics is coming up with a new line of comic books. This is true. I read this in the news. And the storyline is Jesus will be the protagonist. It starts out with Jesus. He becomes roommates with an established superhero. Now, what could go wrong with that, right? Well, we sometimes think of Jesus as some kind of a superhero. You know, just disguised as a mild-mannered rabbi. You know, beneath that tattered robe, we think he's kind of got a special suit, gave him special powers. That is not what the Bible says. Hebrews says that he was flesh and blood, just like us. What Jesus had on under those robes was skin and bones, just like we have on under our clothes. Now, you can get into a long and lively debate about whether Jesus could or couldn't give in to temptation. On the one hand, Jesus is fully human, so if it was a real temptation, he must have been able to give in to it. But on the other hand, he's fully God, you know, and how could God violate his own nature and sin? Theologians can argue both of those sides very persuasively. But as I see it, the important point isn't whether Jesus could or couldn't have sinned. The point is he didn't. Not because he had some special power that you and I don't have, but because he had strengthened himself spiritually. The moment he was able, in that moment he was able to say no to temptation because of it. And that same spiritual strength is available each and every follower of Christ. We find strength to live God's story for our lives, and we are prepared to face the bully when we do some things that Jesus did. The opening line, verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit into the desert. What did he do once he got to the desert? I mean, he fasted. He abstained from food so that he could focus on God and on his relationship with him. So what was he thinking about in the wilderness? He was thinking about the scriptures. You probably didn't put it together, but every one of those answers that he gives to Satan all come from the same place in Deuteronomy. You know, so he like had that in his head. It was all the same place in Deuteronomy. And it all came from the time that Israel was in the wilderness. So it seems that Jesus was out in the wilderness reflecting on Israel being out in the wilderness because he was thinking about Deuteronomy, and that's how he answered every one of those questions. He didn't overcome temptation because he had some kind of special power that you and I don't have. He overcame temptation because he had trained for it. Why do you think that he knew those stories so well? You want to know why? Because he learned them in synagogue. Because he spent time in the Word. And he was ready because he knew what Scripture said. He was able to hear his Father's voice because he had learned to listen for it. In other words, he was so grounded in his faith, so connected to God, that in the moment of temptation, he was able to stand strong. And that same spiritual strength is available to you and I. But here's the deal. If you decided today that you were going to run a marathon next Saturday, I mean, you might be really, you know, you might really want to do that, but here's the bad news. You're not gonna. You know, I mean, you could try. But the simple physiological fact is that the average person does not have the mental or physical strength to run 26.2 miles without stopping. We just don't. I don't know of any marathon runners in the sanctuary today. Anybody a marathon runner? No? We'd be hard pressed. And that's not how you overcome temptation. You don't do it by trying. You do it by training. You can run a marathon if you train to run it, if you run a little bit every day, and if you work up. You know, people run marathons all the time. You can't overcome temptation by gritting your teeth and willing yourself to overcome. You do it by becoming the kind of person who normally and routinely does what God wants. You know, every now and again I look at my own life. And I look to see what I'm spending too much time doing. I hope you do the same. Lent is a great time to do this. I look at my life to see what has become too important to me. And I stop that thing, whatever it is. In the past, it's been Diet Pepsi. I know that's a little thing, but that's the only thing I could remember. It's happened a lot of times, but that's like the one thing. Okay, so Diet Pepsi at one time. Now I have one day a week where I will not turn on my computer. One day a week, the computer does not get turned on. Now, I'm very, very antsy, or as the Pennsylvania Dutch would say, I'm rutsy. Okay, I'm very rutsy. I have decided, but I'm still working on this one, so don't rat me out, honey, that one day a week I am not going to leave my house. Because do you know how hard that is when you've got lots going on? One day a week, I'm not going to leave my house. It is amazing what happens in your life when you discipline yourself to do that. Now, you might be wondering what not turning your computer on or not leaving your house has anything to do with God's story for your life. Well, they're just baby steps, you see, in running the marathon. They're baby steps in developing spiritual muscles that are going to help me live in line with God's story for my life. If you are a man, and you can say no to going online when you want to, soon you can say no to pornography. If you stay up all hours of the night online, if you say no to that, pretty soon you're not tempted to sleep in on a Sunday morning. If you can learn to connect with God every morning, you'll be able to connect with Him during the day. If you can learn to be silent for an hour a day, then you can learn to hold your tongue when you feel like lashing out at somebody. When Satan showed up, Jesus was ready. When He shows up for us, we can be ready too. He was ready when temptation came. He was able to stand strong, even when He was hungry, alone, and far from home. He was ready because He trained Himself. And the same strength is available to us. Overcoming temptation is not a matter of trying harder. It's a matter of training yourself to become the kind of person who normally and routinely does what God wants for you in your life. Jesus faced the bully and won. Luke tells us that when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him till an opportune time. Now, make no mistake, Jesus was going to meet the bully again many times during his ministry, right up until the very end. But God's story for Jesus was far better than the story that Satan offered. And God's story for your life is far better than what the enemy will offer you. It's not necessarily an easier story, but it is a better story. And we can live it. And we can find the strength when we intentionally prepare for facing that bully. And there is no better way to spend Lent. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we pray that indeed we would remember Lent and that it would cause us to be intentional about drawing closer to You. Or we pray it in the name of the One who makes it possible, Jesus the Christ. Amen.